willing to let the spirit of Christmas and St. Nicholas step in and make things right. Reader, whatever your faith or creed, I invite you to consider the possibilities of this season of wonder. Carla Kelly. Prologue. This wasn't a story shared widely. After some thought and a few laughs, New Bedford shipbuilder James Gray and his wife Theodora decided to tell their little ones this odd Christmas tale of how they'd met, or re-met, after years apart. They thought it wise to tell it before those same children reached maturity and no longer set much store by St. Nicholas. Later, if more adult skepticism took over, well, that was their worry. It was Christmas story to tell around the fireplace, drinking Papa's wassail and gorging on Mama's pecans nestled in cream and caramelized sugar she called pralines. None of the children's New Bedford friends ate pralines at Christmas, even though many of them had seafaring fathers who travelled the world. None of their friends had a mother like Mrs. Gray, or for that matter, a father like James Gray. If their parents' origins were shrouded in mystery, everyone in New Bedford appreciated the solidity of Russell and Gray Shipworks, whose yards employed many craftsmen at good wages. More quietly whispered about was the boundless charity of Mrs. Gray, who assisted slaves to freedom in Canada or helped free men and women of colour find work in New England. From the first, a deckhand out of Savannah, to the latest, a young couple fleeing Mississippi and a brutal owner named Tullidge, she and her network of volunteers provided food, lodgings, employment, and hope. She was a woman of great beauty, with the soft accent and leisurely sentences heard in the south of the still new United States. James Gray spoke with a curious accent that placed him not quite in Massachusetts, but not quite in England either. He had a mariner's wind-wrinkled face, and the ships he and his partner built were sound and true. That James adored his lovely wife was obvious to all. That the feeling was mutual was equally evident. Something about the Christmas season seemed to reinforce this tenacious bond even more. Their oldest friends had heard the pleasant story of how they met in a distant southern city after years apart. There always seemed to be more to the story than either party let on, but New Englanders were too polite to ask. Chapter 1. Plymouth, England, October 1st, 1802.
Captain Gray, please excuse what happened. I found this under a box in my officer's storeroom.
Mrs. Fillion held out a letter, most tattered and mangled. James Gray set down his soup spoon and picked it up. He squinted to make out some sort of return address. Stoic he may be, but he couldn't help his involuntary intake of breath to see a single word. Winnings.
What? How?
Was all he could manage as he held the delicate envelope as though it were a relic from an Etruscan tomb. Mrs. Fillion, owner of the Drake, was kind enough to allow her Plymouth Hotel to serve as an informal postal and collection station since the beginning of Napoleon's War. He motioned her to sit down at his solitary table, wishing she didn't appear so upset.
What happened was that I set a box of some poor dead officer's personal effects on top of the letter, which I was saving for you, she said, apologizing. Unfortunately, I haven't seen you in years.
That's because I've operated on the far side of the world for several voyages. He said, don't let this trouble you.
He stared at the envelope.
Any idea how long it might have been there?
He found himself almost afraid to open such a fragile document. He couldn't help wincing when she said,
it's been there since 1791, because the box I set on top of it had 1792 scribbled on the side.
She sighed.
11 years, Captain. I hope it wasn't something terribly important.
Likely not. When he never heard from Theodora Winnings after he proposed by way of pen and paper, James Gray, a first lieutenant in 1791, understood a refusal as well as the next man. Since his career seemed to keep him on the far side of the world for much of that decade, he had felt a little foolish for proposing to sweet Teddy Winnings in the first place. Then he dismissed the matter, except when he stood a watch, the perfect time to reflect on so much charm.